We're talking about a new bill that would help volunteer firefighters and emergency responders. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The goal is to address a shortage that could leave some Wisconsin rural communities without adequate services. More than 90% of our state's fire departments are staffed mostly or entirely by volunteers, and that's according to the U.S. Fire Administration. Emergency responders, is there a shortage of volunteers in your community? What does that mean for your workload? And what about for the work you do in the community? Would a tax credit help you recruit or retain people? We're at 800-642-1234, and you can join in. Trig Pronshinsky is a Republican state representative from Mondovi and represents parts of Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties. Representative Pronshinsky, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kate. It's good to be on the show.
Well, help us understand this legislation. It's called the BRAVE Act. What would it do?
Yeah, well, I hope the BRAVE Act will help retain and attract folks who are in the emergency services, and that would be firefighting and, of course, the EMS services.
So help us go ahead.
Yeah, just to kind of break it down, as you mentioned earlier, it's broken into three tax credits, and one leg of it is longevity of service, and it would be a $300 tax credit for one or more year of service up until 5 years, and after 5 years would be $600, and this is a refundable tax credit. The second leg is for training and education, and it's up to 24 or 25 hours annually at $20 an hour of a tax credit, and that is refundable as well. And, you know, I want to make a point that all of these volunteers have full-time jobs outside of their volunteer work, and to go to these trainings is in the evenings or on weekends, and it's not necessarily close to home in if you're a firefighter, a EMS service provider in rural areas. The third leg of it is for a tax credit for possible equipment that you might want. That is up to $200, and also mileage up to a total of $400. And that's a combination of mileage and equipment. So I'm really excited about it. There's three legs to it, and, you know, you're not going to qualify for everything because you might not have training for 25 hours each year, but some years you might exceed that depending on what you're going for. So,
Representative, help us understand the role of these volunteer emergency responders, volunteer firefighters in our state. How much of them keep Wisconsin's emergency services running and responding?
Oh, these folks here are second to none. You know, just to give you some scenarios that go on, you know, if you take on-call shifts for an ambulance service that you have in your community, you know, at any given second, you could be gone for hours, whether it's in the middle of the night or during the day. And some of these folks sacrifice a lot of personal time with their family, as well as the firefighters. You know, like I said, they could be working on a construction site and having to walk away from their construction site for a number of hours to fight a structure that's on fire. They could be at their child's birthday party or athletic event or spending time with a loved one. And they have to walk away from this because, you know, their duty is called.
We're talking with State Representative Trig Pronshinsky. He's our guide during this part of the State Capitol Report looking at proposed legislation that would offer tax credits to volunteer firefighters and emergency services personnel. You can join in 800-642-1234. Emergency responders, what's your take on these potential tax credits? Would it help you out if you're already doing the work, or do you think it could incentivize more people to get involved? You can call in, email ideas@wpr.org. Representative, you're a volunteer firefighter. Your brother is one. What challenges have you seen and experienced firsthand?
Well, you know, let's just Yeah, that's a great question. I am a volunteer firefighter. I've been one for 11 years now, and it's been a great experience. It's a great way to give back to the community, you know, and that experiences that I've had or I've seen with my brother, you know, I touched on them just a little bit ago regarding, you know, these folks that are in these services give up a lot, and it's not a schedule. You know, it's not like you're signing up to help out with the charcoal chicken feed in your local community. It's going to be from 2 to 4 on Saturday, and you can walk away. You know, this is day after day, night after night. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand, not just with my brother, but with myself, that, you know, I had something planned that was important in my life, and service called, and I signed up for a volunteer. And you go out and you do your job. And there's a lot of folks out there that do it. I understand across the state there's over 23,000 volunteers. And that's a lot of folks that keep the wheel spinning. And when someone is in need, they hope that someone can respond quickly. And God bless everybody that does it. But, you know, some of the experiences that I've seen with not only myself but my colleagues is, you know, we've had a local concert a couple of years back for my daughter and others, and there happened to be a fire that was called at the time of that, and a lot of people got up and left. And those are quality times with your family that you can't get back. And I just want to give back to those folks that have been doing it for years and are committed to volunteer.
One of your co-authors, Republican State Senator Patrick Teston and Mark Cohn of the Wisconsin EMS Association, said that while this won't address structural issues these workers face, it will provide an incentive. What do you think this would mean for volunteers? Do you see incentive here?
Well, you know, as I talked of the longevity part of it, the 300 for 1 to 5 years and 600 for five or more, you know, this isn't a money-making, you know, scenario where I'm going to stay on because I'm going to get the $600. But I want you to think about, you know, if someone is, you know, I've been doing this for 8-10 years, man, I put my time in, but if they're going to give me some incentives to stick around, that's just a nice little pat on the back. And I would think that they would say, well, maybe I should stay on because I've already done the training. You know, I have to continue with training, but, you know, this helps out a little bit. And of course, a lot of these folks miss out on work, their regular scheduled work at times. And it's a hit on their pocketbook as well when you get a call at 6 in the morning and you're gone for a few hours and you miss the first hour of work. So I think it's going to help some to stick around, no doubt. I doubt it will help everybody, but I think it's a good start.
Are there deeper structural issues that need to be addressed here when you look at emergency medical personnel?
Well, I think that there are some issues that are coming up. Folks don't want to volunteer as much as they used to, it seems, as you drive across the state, and I put on a lot of miles. I've seen even banners up looking for firefighters, looking for people to help out with our ambulance service. And years ago, I don't think we've seen that as much. Mm. And there's a cry for that. But, you know, as I touched on, people just don't want to volunteer. It's a little bit different culture than we had in our last generation. And it's tough sometimes to get people to help out for some of the simplest things. And I understand we have busy lives and there again, I'm going to circle back to the folks that do these things.
And we're going to pause right there, talking with Representative Trig Pronchinsky about legislation that would offer tax incentives to attract and retain volunteer firefighters and emergency responders. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. State Capitol Report continues in just a moment on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, we're talking about the BRAVE Act on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The bill would offer tax credits to volunteer firefighters and emergency services personnel. It was unveiled last month. One lawmaker said in support of this bill that the average age of the state's volunteer firefighters is increasing from 50 years old in 2006 to 60 years old today. Are the volunteer firefighters and emergency responders in your community aging? What does that mean for the future of the size of this group of people? And what are you doing in your community to retain volunteer emergency service workers? What about attracting people? Join in at 800-642-1234. Representative Trig Pronshinsky stays with us on this legislation. Let's go to the phones now with Dwayne joining us from Dalton. Hi, Dwayne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. My whole family has been on the fire department since 88. I've been on there, and a wife joined back in 88, and then all of our kids have joined the fire department. Now, all our kids have moved away and out of the area, which is unfortunate for the fire department. But we're in a small fire department in the town of Dalton. We cover 30 square miles. I've seen it to the point where we used to have 25 volunteers. Now we're down to 13 volunteers, and we're all volunteers. We don't get paid one dime for anything we do. I've been a first responder for 6 years. I've been the fire chief for 11 years now. It's getting to the point now where we're looking at either closing up shop here in the next few years or really going to be needing some assistance from the community. Our biggest concern is we live in an Amish community, so trying to get, you know, volunteers out of the Amish community is really tough, you know, for driving fire trucks and all the training that we have to do. So it is tough, and I think this bill might help a little bit, so I'm in support of it.
Dwayne, thanks so much for explaining your situation. Representative, it's been a family affair for Dwayne for more than 30 years, and this is all volunteer. What do you see there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it is a family tradition in many departments. There's no doubt about that, and I think that that's a positive thing. And I know he touched on the Amish. He lives in an Amish community that he's getting a tough time getting the training for these folks and getting them to volunteer. They have obviously a busy life and the culture they live in. And, you know, I appreciate his support in this bill. And you know, if I agree with him, I think it's going to help in a lot of ways.
Dwayne, may I ask your age? Are you?
My age?
Yeah.
I'm 55. Our last volunteer that we just took on and went through schooling is 54.
And so the time will come, though, when you will need to retire from this volunteerism. What do you think about that day?
Well, I hope there's somebody around the community that's actually willing to step up. That's the biggest thing. So our average firefighters are in our fire department right now are in their late 40s, early 50s.
Representative, do you see an issue there with an aging volunteer force?
Absolutely. You know, I have definitely seen that within my department, other departments. There's no doubt about it. We have an aging demographic there. And to take on the training is a big step to get someone to commit to do this. I mean, it sounds pretty simple and easy. You sign on to a fire department or ambulance service, and you know, you get your hands right on right away. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And if you put yourself in a situation where you might be, you know, 20, 30, even 40 miles away from an area that would have the correct training for you to get you up to snuff, so to speak, to get you on these scenes, that's a big deal, especially when you have to go back week after week to get the training you need.
Have you seen any legislative movement, legislative successes involving emergency care services since you joined the legislature?
You know, I remember correctly, last session there was something that was put out that was similar to this. It didn't get much traction, but there again, I think this is a discussion that's getting aired out right now because, you know, as we introduced this bill, we had a number of folks call into our office, not even from the district I'm in, and saying, you know, this is really good. We're having the same issues that you're having in your district or, you know, in rural southern Wisconsin versus rural northern Wisconsin. This isn't an issue that's, you know, just in the northern part of Wisconsin. It is this is in our rural areas. And, you know, I'd love to stress upon the fact that when you're in Madison, Milwaukee, or, you know, urban areas, we constantly hear sirens. And I do when I visit the Capitol. And when someone calls 911, they expect someone to be there within minutes. And typically they are. And that's not necessarily the case in rural areas. And, you know, that's the importance of this bill is it could be anybody's family member at any given time when they're traveling across the state. And I think we deserve better.
So now that the BRAVE Act has been circulated for sponsorship, what kind of support are you seeing for this bill?
Well, it's great. We do have bipartisan support, and I'm hoping to get more. And I encourage everybody to call their legislators and tell them that, you know, this is important to me or this is important to my family who lives in northern Wisconsin. But we definitely have bipartisan support in the Assembly and the Senate. And I can say, I think as of right now, we have 12 senators that are co-sponsoring, and we have, I believe, 45 Assembly representatives that are co-authors. So it's wonderful.
And what's the next step after that with this legislation?
Well, I would hope that we would get a committee hearing. And when that does happen, I hope that we get a lot of response across the state from these folks that do these wonderful jobs and discussing their situations and the experiences they've had. And I hope that folks that have gotten some help from these folks, whether they had a fire or they had an emergency medical situation, that they can air out their thoughts on how important volunteering in these services is to the state.
Representative Prunchinsky, do you have any sense of what Governor Evers feels about this legislation, were it to make to his desk?
Yeah, I would hope that he would support this. I have not myself. I don't know if the other co-authors have talked to his office specifically about this. But I do know this. He showed up at the Volunteer Firefighters Association convention, and it appeared that he was very supportive of those folks, and I got to believe that he would be in support of EMS service folks.
So you've called this the first step in the right direction with this bill. What is next when you consider future proposals on this or other facets of this issue of emergency response in rural areas?
Yeah, well, I think I'm glad you brought that question up because this is not the cure all. And, you know, I've touched on these volunteers are employed. And I think one of the biggest hurdles that we have outside of retention and attraction is the folks that want to do it. They might be stuck at work. And I would like to look at some possible tax incentives for businesses who allow these folks to go out and serve their community. That's one great idea. I think that another one possibly is to get these education and training sessions as close to their home as possible. It's if anybody's done any schooling at night and working a full-time job, they can relate to this. It's tough on you. And, you know, remember, this is a volunteer service.
Is there anything in budget proposals that are connected to rural health that you're watching with interest in this session?
Well, the budget is a huge package. You know, I know that this particular BRAVE bill, I believe there's a budget motion that's been put in place already that, you know, is the identical thing. I hope that it could get done in the budget, but I honestly believe that this is a standalone bill that will hold up very well. But we have to look across the state on what's best for the health of, you know, our state. And there are some issues in rural areas regarding how long it takes to get to a hospital, not just when there's an emergency, but, you know, these elderly folks who, you know, it's a whole day event to drive from their farm or their rural property to get to a doctor. And those are some things that concern me.
Well, Representative, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kate.
Representative Trig Pronshinsky is a Republican from Mondovi, representing parts of Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties. He's co-authored a bill that creates tax credits to help attract and retain volunteer firefighters and emergency medical personnel. Coming up, we talk with Fond du Lac's county executive about what's behind the decision to pull out of a statewide plan to build and operate regional youth prisons. These smaller correctional facilities are intended to replace Lincoln Hills. We'll look at the future of our state's juvenile detention facilities right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.